First, the holiday season is a time of celebration, gift-giving, and often giving back to our communities. Sometimes, though, taking that first step toward volunteering or donating can be a little challenging if you don't know where to start. Our next guest is an internationally recognized philanthropic advisor with advice on how to make the most of the giving season. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you like to give back to your own community during the holidays? Do you volunteer? What do you do? What got you started? How do you decide where to make donations this time of year? Do you have questions needing some advice from our guest, maybe? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lisa Dietlin is a keynote speaker, author, and founder of the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, we think of this as a season of giving. What are some of the themes or messages you think about a lot during this time of year?
You know, some of the things I think about are how Americans are so focused at this time of year on giving back, and yet philanthropy and need is there 365 days a year. I am so pleased that we have a time of year when we all come together and congregate and say, I want to make a difference. I want to give some money. I want to make sure people have food on their table, or if they're children, maybe a gift under the tree. But I also want to continue that education so that people realize it's not just one and done, it's all year long.
How can people make that mindset shift, maybe instead of that once a year donation, which is also great, or once a year volunteer gig, to say, hey, maybe I'm going to start a habit of doing stuff like this?
Well, you're speaking my language, Rob. You're definitely, you know that. You know that. You teed that up perfectly. You know, first of all, to level set, 80% of nonprofits receive 50% of their budget in the last 2 months of the year. Now imagine, you know, our listeners, if you got, you know, 80% of your salary, or 50% of your salary in the last 2 months of the year, you'd be like, wait a minute, I worked all these other months and how do I make it stretch? So actually thinking about how do we make a charitable plan of action? And I think it should be a family affair. I think it's something that we need to teach both those who are older. I've taught my mother and my brother and my sister how to give, and as well as my nieces and nephews. So one of the first things I would say is have a conversation during the holidays, whether it's one-on-one or at the family table, or as you're sitting around getting ready to watch that football game, or, you know, that holiday special. We always watch The Christmas Story, you know, sitting there and talk about, what did you do this year? What did you do to give back? And what's your plan of action? Because sometimes just starting the conversation will motivate the family to begin thinking about, oh yeah, we have been really blessed, or, oh yeah, we went through a tough time and people helped us. Maybe we should help them.
Now, we think of giving as a way to help other people. One little secret, and I've heard this from a lot of people in the psychological field. You talk about this in your latest newsletter, Lisa. Giving is a great way to help ourselves, especially maybe for feeling a little seasonal sadness with the sunlight going down and things like that. What are some of the things we get out of doing nice things for others, whether that's donating to a cause or just helping out somebody we know?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And actually, we live in a time when medical and scientific studies have been done, Rob, and there's actually data to show that individuals who volunteer, give back, do something for somebody else actually are happier. They have an instant return on investment. You know, they're happier and they actually are healthier. There's been studies done to show that people who regularly volunteer are actually healthier than those who don't volunteer. Your blood pressure goes down. You get out of the blues, you know, whether they're wintertime blues. I'm a summer blues. You know, I'm a summer baby. And when that sun is bright and shining, everyone's out, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I thought I was crazy. But, you know, you can get out of the blues by helping someone else or doing something. And, you know, it does not have to be formalized or structured. You know, I want to give two examples here. One is a very structured. My family, we, you know, grew. I mean, there's six nieces and nephews and they're married and there's babies and all of this going on. And it just got to be too much. And so what we all do is put in what we would normally spend on a gift for another person. And we do layaway angels. When the economy is tough, as for some people it is right now, we go into a store and we pay off someone's layaway. And so that they can have those items out before the holidays. That's a very structured family commitment that we all look forward to, and we call ourselves, you know, layaway angels. The other thing is that you can just be kind to somebody. You know, you can hold the door open. You can smile. You can shovel their walk. You could rake their leaves if there's still leaves, you know, blowing around, sweep out the garage, what have you. You know, I was just coming back from England, and I was on this plane, and I was in row 42, Rob. So, you know, I'm in the back of the plane. I am in the back, and people are getting on. And first of all, here's a little pet peeve of mine. If you can't put the luggage in the overhead bin, the suitcase is too big, you know, like, fair. So I'm trying to help people and saying to people, take your time. You know, it's okay. You know, just take a deep breath. And when I sat down, the woman behind me said, "Are you a counselor?" Look up at her, and I go, "No." And she goes, "You were just so kind to everybody." And I thought, wow, how is just telling people, don't feel rushed, don't feel pressured, you know, until all of us get on the plane, you know, the plane's not going to take off. How is that something that she noticed? And I thought, it's because she hadn't seen it recently, or we've been so isolated during COVID. And sometimes just making a kind word to someone. And this is, you know this too, Rob, about me. I'm a firm believer in karma. Next plane I was on to South Carolina, you know, this gentleman says, "Can I put your luggage up for you?" And I looked at him, and I wanted to say no, like, I'm an independent woman. And I said, "You know what? No one's asked that in a long time. That would be really nice." And he put my luggage up, and I thought, just being kind, I felt good. He felt good. You know, it was a good plane ride.
Nice. Lisa Dietlin is with us from the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy. We're talking about giving and volunteering, the seasonal giving season and beyond. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you volunteer? Love to hear about it. What got you started? What keeps you going? How do you make big decisions on donating, maybe this time of year or around the year? Flip it around. Do you work at an organization that depends on donations or volunteers? What do you see this time of year? What do you need? What would help you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. All right, Lisa, let's talk about making decisions on who to give, first of all, money to. Now, people might look out and see these headlines about 7-digit, 10-digit donations that really wealthy people make and thinking, you know, I can't make a difference with my giving. I know you don't buy that mindset. How can we take our limited resources and give in a way that's effective and you know, that supports our values?
Right. Well, the first thing I always say is every dollar counts. So please don't think that your $5, your $10 doesn't count. If you have a faith basis, you know, there's a story in the Bible that talks about the coin of least value and, you know, a person giving of their need, not of their excess. So, you know, every dollar, every penny counts because it helps somebody else. The second thing is determine what's important to you. I often recommend look back over the last year. You know, at this time of year, Rob, we often are reflecting. You know, we're looking forward, but we're looking back, like, what happened in the last year? Did your mom get breast cancer? Did your sister adopt a dog? Did your aunt, you know, go into a senior living facility? What happened in your family that suddenly became very important to you? Did somebody get diagnosed with a rare disease? Did you become aware of something that you weren't aware of before? And see where that stacks up with your priorities. I often say give a larger amount to fewer organizations. So say you had $100, I might give two $50 donations instead of $10 to 10 organizations. But that's my personal preference. Some people might say, well, you know, I have 10 organizations I want to give to. So first of all, determine what's important to you. Review what you did last year, because sometimes we forget. What did I give to last year? Oh, yeah, that's important. My kid's school, my house of worship, my alma mater. And then set a budget. You can't save the world, but you can help a little bit. You can help somebody and you can make a difference. And then put a plan of action together for the next year. Are you going to give money away every month? Are you going to give your time away? You know, the most precious commodity all of us have is our time. It's the one thing we can't replace. How about volunteering a couple hours a month and taking your mom with you? If your mom's like mine saying, "You never spend time with me," or getting your kids in the act, you know, "Hey, I want you to see how fortunate you are. Let's go and walk the dogs at the dog shelter." No, we're not getting a dog, but we can walk the dogs, you know. Make it a family affair.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you up to, Dennis?
I am right now driving across Green Bay going to the Red Cross Center to pick up a van and volunteer to drive to Marinette, Wisconsin and pick up blood from a blood drive and bring it back to Green Bay so that it gets sent to Madison for processing through the Red Cross.
Fantastic, Dennis. That is a great work, very much appreciated, and that is a great way to volunteer, Lisa.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Dennis, is it your first time doing this, or are you a regular?
I'm a regular. I'm a regular platelet donor. I donate platelets about 22 times a year for people in cancer treatment, and then I also drive for the Red Cross, and I work as a donor ambassador, which I'm doing tomorrow in Marinette also to help them out because they don't have any volunteers up there to work at a blood drive at a corporation in Marinette and greet the donors coming in, get them all checked in, and give them snacks when they're done.
That's great. You know what, Dennis? When the COVID started, I decided that I was going to become a blood donor, and I just got my 1 gallon pin. So I'm right there with you, my friend.
Thank you so much for sharing that great story, Dennis. We are talking to Lisa Dietlin with the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy with us today to talk about the importance of giving back during the holidays and beyond and how you can get started donating money, donating your time and talent, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own experiences, how you make decisions about how to give, your questions for our guest, 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with philanthropic advisor Lisa Dietlin about giving back during the holiday season and beyond. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a story about volunteering, your own or someone you know that you want to give a shout out to, how do you make decisions of who to donate limited resources to this time of year or in your year-round giving? Do you have an experience on the other side of things, needing volunteers for the cause, the organization you work for? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'd like to ask your guest, how does she balance or consider the difference between providing labor or money to a charity and trying to get legislation passed so that government can provide more help to those in need?
What are your thoughts, Lisa?
Oh, that's a great question, Tom. Thanks for asking that. You know, the nonprofit sector evolved out of a rich tradition in this country where we didn't have a monarch or a state religion to go to. And so there is that whole side of it that just goes it alone. There's also those nonprofits that fill in the gap that the government isn't able to fill when we do soup kitchens, for instance, and feeding hungry people. I think there's a multi-pronged approach, and I think everyone has to do what they feel is important. You know, many nonprofits advocate, some are even lobby legislators for changes in the law and for more dollars to be directed toward the nonprofit sector. I don't think we'll ever get away from fundraising and donating our time. I think that's just in our DNA, Tom. That's how we were founded, you know, with our the great philanthropic story in the United States of America. But if you're one of those who are going to your legislature and advocating or writing your senators and your congresspeople, I'd say keep at it, because the need always surpasses the resources that are available. And that's the toughest part. If you've ever worked at a food bank and you've handed out that last box and there's, you know, 5 cars left, if you're like me, you're wondering like, oh my gosh, where can I get food for these people? Because they just happen to be the last 5 cars. So I think it's a balancing act would be the short answer.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We heard on the Ideas Network Facebook page from Brandy, who says, my main client is a homeless shelter in Milwaukee. I do get paid, but I also do pro bono work. I put so much energy in because I believe in their mission and that they're actually helping. And that's a thought. People donating their talent, if they have unique skills that, you know, they might be how they make a living, donating those to organizations in need, Lisa?
Absolutely. You know, if you're a lawyer, an attorney, if you're a graphic artist, if you're an accountant, you know, those are skills that might be needed at a nonprofit organization that you could go in. If you're an architect and they're wanting to build a new building, you could donate your services and they're valued. You know, nonprofits have gotten very astute and we actually track and value hours of volunteers and they're valued differently. I served on the board of a legal aid clinic in Chicago and we valued the time and the donated time of lawyers different than, you know, someone like me who comes in and answers the phone or does intake of clients that needed the services, the legal aid services. So usually when you're working for a nonprofit, you also volunteer some time and you get your friends and family involved too. So that's a great thing that Brandy's doing.
We are talking about giving in this holiday season and beyond. Lisa Dietlin is with us, expert on giving and philanthropy. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your own experiences. We heard from CK, who wants to encourage people to support their local health departments, especially for those with disabilities and people with eye injuries, because they're often under-helped, under-supported. I'll throw in a thank you to the people who volunteer to read for Bard. My dad has come to depend on it with some vision changes for audiobooks. Lisa, what do you think of that as a way, as a place to look for an opportunity to volunteer?
I think it's great. You know, there's so many ways. And if you have access to the internet, simply doing a Google search or contacting your local community foundation. If you don't have the internet, making a phone call, you know, checking in with your city hall or your county officials, they know where the need is in your community. And there's a lot of things that we learned during the COVID pandemic, which, you know, as we know, is still going on. But we got smarter about how we can volunteer and how we can engage people. It's not always that you have to leave your home and go to a facility. There are things that people can do to help nonprofit organizations from their home.
Lisa, people might wonder if they're looking to give money now specifically, how can I make sure that I'm giving to a legitimate organization that's doing the good work that I assume they're doing when I send them my money?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I always cringe because I say if people would only use their force for good, because you can get tripped up and end up accidentally donating to a fraudulent website that looks like the real website. So first of all, I never respond to anything that comes into my inbox. And I know a lot of development officers are probably cringing in nonprofits like, oh my gosh. What I do is if it interests me, I search that on the internet to find the website and make sure it's real. I might place a call. I might send an email. I might start small with a donation. Those are all safeguard measures. And they're actually best practices of those individuals that at the top of the show, Rob, that you talked about, that give large gifts. Sometimes they'll just give a $50 gift to see if it's processed and if they get a thank you note and if it really went to where it was supposed to be. And I think we all have to take a page out of the Mackenzie Scott book. You know, Mackenzie Scott is making transformational gifts all over the country with no strings attached. And I think there has to be some faith that nonprofits know where the resources, the leadership knows where the resources should go. That said, we do have to have checks and balances. So if you're serving on a board of directors or if you're working on a staff of a nonprofit, make sure those checks and balances are there, because I truly believe that when nonprofits get tripped up because of embezzlement or bad behavior, it's because something's happening in an individual staff member's life that hasn't been addressed, that they're not sharing, and this is the only way they think they can fix it. So I think we have to have some trust and move away from the, I need to control the gift where it goes, and hopefully trust that those nonprofits in our community are doing good.
And one place where you differ from some of those, you know, advisors we can look up online, you think it's okay if there are decent salaries for workers at nonprofit. You don't view that necessarily as a bad sign.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to talk to Joe Biden at the White House, and I've got a posse going and say, you know, there needs to be a living wage for nonprofit workers. You know, it's We're not volunteers. The nonprofit sector, Rob, you've heard me say this, is the third largest employment sector in this country after retail and manufacturing. More people work in this field than work in the automotive industry, oil and gas, or electronics. Yet until very recently, nobody grew up and said, hey, mom and dad, I want to work in the nonprofit, the charitable sector. And they need to be paid a living wage. You shouldn't be paying them a wage that forces them to go down the street to be in the food bank line, the soup kitchen line, because you're not paying them a sustainable wage. And we as community have to understand that separating out salaries from program and thinking we're being astute donors is not. I mean, could you live? I had this one friend and she would say to me, well, Lisa, I don't give to a charity that spends more than 3% on overhead. And I said, well, then you're a fool. And she looked at me and said, could you and your husband live on 3% of your salary, on 3% of your income that's coming in? She goes, no. I said, then how are you expecting a nonprofit to do that? And I can tell you they're burying it. They're burying it under education. They're burying it under marketing. Let's trust the nonprofit. Let's pay people a living wage. Or a recent term that I learned, Rob, is a family sustaining wage. Let's pay people a wage that they can do good. At that legal aid clinic I worked at, we would pay, and now this is about 15 years ago, entry level attorneys that were doing family housing, criminal law, family law, we would pay them under $40,000 a year. They wanted to work in the public sector, but guess what? 6-12 months later, their law school bills came due and they left us. And I remember we said, we need to pay them. We can't pay them what the law firms are paying them, but we can do better than under $40,000 a year.
Lisa, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, always happy to talk about one of my favorite subjects. And no matter what you do, whether it be with your time, with your blood, your sweat, or your dollars, just know you're making a difference. And even a smile or a kind word can change somebody's life.
That's Lisa Dietlin with the Institute of Transformational Philanthropy talking about giving back during the holiday season and beyond.